So as mentioned early, now I'm back on the PowerPoint, there will be some individuals born during this time who will obey outwardly, but inwardly their hearts will be in rebellion against the king, Jesus sitting on the throne. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed from the bottomless pit. Sadly, those who did not get saved during the millennium will follow after Satan and end up eternally condemned. So I think that, you know, this is one of the saddest things about the millennium, is that people had 1,000 years with Jesus being on the throne, and instead of them submitting their heart to him in humility and totally, they will continue to rebel.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. Wade, Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the Millennium Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the Millennium Part 2.
All the shootings that's taken place in our country this year, you know, even in the last couple of weeks, Philadelphia and Texas, different other places where, you know, people are just shooting up, right? Well, you know, this is not going to be the order of the day during the millennium, right? Because righteousness, you know, Christ will be on the throne and he will rule in righteousness, you know, and, you know, the Bible says that he's going to rule with a rod of iron. So when you think about a rod, you know, you go back to the 23rd Psalm, right? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So what was the rod used for? The rod was used to correct the sheep, you know, to get them back on the right path. You know, the shepherd would take that rod and kind of gently guide them back into the path of righteousness, right? So Christ will rule with the rod of iron, that his rod, when people want to step out of line, that he will use his rod to gently guide them back. Now, again, remember, there's going to be unsaved folk. So, you know, their natural tendency will be to be unrighteous. But because righteousness is the order of the day, Christ will gently guide them back into the areas of righteousness. So righteousness will be the order of the day. The curse. And, you know, we looked earlier at the fact that creation will be in harmony, right? But we also see that the curse will be removed, that in Genesis 3:17 through 19, we read about the curse that God placed on man, the woman, and creation. During the millennial, the curse will be removed. It will be removed from the body. Now, we don't have to worry about getting sick, or we don't have to worry about dying. But, you know, some people, and I'm going to show you this in a second, during the millennial will die. All right. So we'll look at that in a second. But we don't have to worry about that, because when we got saved, you know, our salvation is secure, and that, you know, we have eternal life. All right. But again, those people coming out of the tribulation, that are having children, they will have to make a decision for Christ. And so some of them may even die during the millennium. The curse will be removed from the body. It will be removed from the animal kingdom. Death will be lifted, and sorrow will be lifted. So all the things associated with the curse will be lifted during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. All right. It will be a time of overall prosperity. You know, when you think about all the oppression that we see in the world today, and how that people are oppressed economically, they are oppressed socially, they are oppressed educationally, that there is a lot of oppression and poverty that is taking place in our world today. And so during the millennial, it will be a time of economic prosperity. Isaiah talked about that in Isaiah 65:21-23. There will be no oppression, that people will not be oppressed. You know, you look at the slaves that came from Africa and how that they were oppressed when they got here on the slave ships, and they were, you know, placed in chains, and they were forced to labor in the fields, and they suffered great oppression. And then even other places around the world where we've seen oppression take place, that during the millennial, nobody will be oppressed. The oppression, it will be prosperity. Everyone will receive knowledge. Everyone will have a PhD, right? Knowledge will be something that will be readily available to everybody. There'll be an abundance of work for people. You know, there's not going to be any layoffs or job shortages or anything like that, but there'll be jobs for everybody, right? There was one guy, he went to church with his girlfriend. And that Sunday, he took his Bible with him. And that Sunday, the pastor was preaching from the book of Job. And so the young man looked through his Bible and he saw, Job 1, Job 2, and, you know, kept flipping through and said, you know, it went all the way up to, Job 42. And the young man, he didn't know that it was the book of Job. And he said that, man, I can't believe there's this many jobs in the Bible. I can't believe this many jobs in the Bible. No, my brother, it's Job. It's the book of Job. But there's going to be a lot of jobs in the book of in the millennial. There's going to be 42. No, I'm just kidding. But there'll be abundance of work for everybody during the millennial. And the land shall yield in overabundance. The great prosperity will take place during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. There'll be universal worship, right? Everybody, you know, we all worship different now, even in Christendom, you know, we have different ways of worshiping. And then that's not only to talk about like people worshiping different gods, like the Muslims, you know, like the Hare Krishnas, like Jehovah's Witnesses, right? They all worship a different God. But during the millennium, we all gonna worship one God. And that one God is gonna be Jesus Christ, that he will be the King of Kings and he'll be the Lord of Lords. He'll be the one that sit on the throne. And so there'll be universal worship. And, you know, I just believe that God is going to I don't have any scripture for this, but this is just in my sanctified imagination. I believe that God is going to take the best of everything, every religion that's on this earth. And remember, if you were there on Sunday, I talked about religion and I said religion is man-made. Christianity is God-made. You know, it's religion is founded by man. Every religion has a man or a woman at the head of it, the founder, but only Christianity has God at the head of it. And so I believe that even in these religions, of these Christian religions, let me clarify that, that, you know, if you like the upbeat praise and worship, I believe that that's going to be there. If you like the anthems, you know, there'll be a time of singing the anthems. If you like gospel music, there'll be time of singing gospel music. If you like, I forget that one genre that's out there, but whatever, you know, I believe that if whatever it is, you know, there's going to be a variety of ways that we worship Christ. And so, you know, we'll come, Micah says that we will flow to the mountain of God, and at this mountain of God that we will worship Christ. What a day that will be. It will be a time of celebration. You know, there'll be constant celebrations. Zechariah talked about the Feast of Tabernacles in Zechariah 14:16-17. And this was a feast that commemorated how God protected and provided for the children of Israel while they were in the wilderness. But it was also a time of thanksgiving to the Lord. And so, you know, we'll celebrate Sukkot or the Feast of Tabernacles and just, you know, rejoice and give thanks to God. So, you know, there'll be times during the millennium where we'll just stop and we'll have a Thanksgiving break and we'll just thank God for all that he's done. Now, it will be a time of prolonged life. Now, once again, I keep reiterating this because this was a concept that I was having a difficult time understanding. So I just want to make sure that we all understand it. And that is, some people will die during the millennial. Notice, and this is what I put here, because of the pristine nature or the perfect nature of the millennial, the curse has been abolished. So the fact that our bodies are not laboring incorruptibility, that our bodies are corruptible right now. And that's why we get sick. That's why we have diabetes. That's why we get cancer. That's why, you know, we get have heart disease. That's why we have all those things, because of the curse. But during the millennial, the curse will not be present. So people are not going to have to deal with sicknesses in their bodies like we deal with during the millennium. So speaking in reference to the elongated life regarding the citizens of the millennial, Isaiah says this: "There shall be no more in it an infant of days, nor old man that have not filled his days. For the child shall die at 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." So now what does that mean? So I tried to put the explanation right there beneath it. Notice at the age of 100, if somebody dies at 100 years old, they will, it's like a child dying today, right? If you think of a child that dies, and you know, we look at that and we say, you know, wow, you know, that child lost his life before they even got a chance to start living. Well, if somebody dies at 100 during a millennium, it will be said that that's just like a child dying today. I mean, you know, that's how young 100 will be at that time. And also sinners will die. Okay, so again, you know, these are people that are coming out of the tribulation and they're having kids, right? So these kids will not, some of them will not accept Christ, and they will, even though righteousness will be the order of the day, some of them will be bold enough to try to get away with violating the law of Christ. And so Isaiah says that those individuals will face an early death because of their blatant and continuous violation of the laws of Christ. But generally, this will be a prolonged period of time. Think back to the time before the flood and how that people lived. You know, Methuselah, he lived to be 969 years old, you know, before he died. Just think of the long life. And a part of that, the reason that they lived that long life too, was because of the pristine nature. So even though the creation had been corrupted, you know, it still wasn't affected to the point that it is today, you know, where, you know, we got all kind of stuff floating around out here. So, you know, people lived a long time before the flood. And so because the millennium will be such a perfect environment that, you know, people will live long lives, right? And, you know, live to be, you know, 969 years old, like Methuselah did. So it will be a prolonged period of life. Okay. There'll be a temple. Ezekiel talked about a temple where we will offer sacrifices. Now, some people have been critical and they have said, well, why do we need a temple? You know, the Mosaic system is finished. You know, when Jesus came, didn't he fulfill all that? You know, they had the tabernacle in the Old Testament. They had the temple in the Old Testament. You know, why are we going to need a temple? And why do we need to offer sacrifices during the millennium? Well, this is what I believe is that now, and we could ask the question, why do we celebrate communion, right? Why do we celebrate communion? Think about that for a minute. You know, Christ already came. He already shed his blood. His body was already broken. Why do we serve communion? Well, we serve communion as a memorial to remember what Christ did for us, right? So during the millennium, there will be a temple and there will be sacrifices, not so that our sins can be covered or not so that our sins can be taken away, but the purpose is for a memorial for us through the millennial period to think about how we got there, you know, that we got there because of what Christ has done for us. And so these sacrifices will not be necessary to take away sin or to be to cover sin, but these sacrifices will be there in order for us to remember what Christ has done for us. So there will be a millennial temple. Okay, now here you go right here. I'm going to finish out with these last couple points. And this is a time. See, this is now, you know, here's where we should perk up, right? Because we are going to exercise judgment and we will reign with Christ. Okay. So again, we don't have to worry about death during the millennium. We don't have to worry about temptation. We don't have to worry about sin during the millennium because, you know, we'll be in our glorified bodies. The people that come out of the tribulation and their offspring will not be in their glorified bodies, but we will be in our glorified bodies. So these things will not affect us. And so what we will do during that 1,000 years is that we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. Look at what I have on this PowerPoint. Remember in the book of Corinthians, there was arguments and people were taking people to court, right? And Paul said, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? When are you going to judge the world? You know, when he says saints are going to judge the world, when are you going to judge the world? During the millennium, you will judge the world. Paul's comment, the saints will judge the world, is a reference to the millennium, when believers will co-reign with Christ, ruling over and judging those living on the earth. Also, in the book of Revelation, we read that believers are kings and priests who will reign on the earth, and they will reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So we are going to exercise judgment. We are going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. So that's why Paul rebuked the people in the church of Corinth for going to the law before the unsaved, because he said, you were going to judge. You were going to judge in matters of this life, okay? Now, here goes something else that's interesting. And Jesus seems to indicate that believers will rule over cities based on their faithfulness. So I already told y'all, I got my city picked out, Durango, Colorado. That's where I want to rule and reign, right, during the millennium. So y'all can have Pittsburgh, or y'all can have Monroeville, or Swissvale, or Rankin. You can have those cities. I'm going to be out in Colorado. I don't know if that's the case or not, but however, In Jesus' parable of the nobleman going to a far country, he spoke of servants who received pounds. Several of them invested and gained more pounds. Jesus said because of their faithfulness, they would rule over a number of cities commensurate with their investment. So Jesus seemed to indicate that these individuals who were faithful over things in this life, that they would rule over cities. So, you know, again, we're going to rule and reign with Christ. We're going to judge, and we're going to rule over cities. So again, start thinking about where you want to be, so that if the Lord is taking requests, that you already know what your request is. Okay. Now, to me, the saddest thing about the millennium, is this. And let me read Revelation 20. So if you got your Bibles and you want to turn there, Revelation 20, verse 7 through 10, it says this. And when the 1,000 years are ended, Satan shall be loosed out of prison. Now, you remember last week, we saw the fact that verse 2, that the angel laid hold of that dragon, the old serpent, who was called the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and cast him into a bottomless pit and sealed it up so that he couldn't deceive the nations anymore. That was back in Revelation 20, verse 3. Now, in verse 7, we see that he's going to be loosed. And again, he's going to continue what he was doing before he was chained, before he was bound. Verse 8, and he shall go out to deceive the nations, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So as mentioned early, now I'm back on the PowerPoint, there will be some individuals born during this time who will obey outwardly, but inwardly their hearts will be in rebellion against the king, Jesus sitting on the throne. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed from the bottomless pit. Sadly, those who did not get saved during the millennium will follow after Satan and end up eternally condemned. So I think that, you know, this is one of the saddest things about the millennium, is that people had 1,000 years with Jesus being on the throne, and instead of them submitting their heart to him in humility and totally, they will continue to rebel and refuse to accept him. And then when Satan is loosed and we see that he is a deceiver, that he will come and he will deceive those individuals, and they will follow after him, and they will end up going to a place of eternal condemnation. So that's the millennium. That's what we have to look forward to as we move ahead into the future.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Great White Throne Judgment, Part 1. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Millennium, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Millennium, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Millennium Part 2 from our Bible Prophecy Series, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series on Bible prophecy is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, come from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.